Pepper Young's family. Pepper Young's family is the true-to-life story of your friends, the Youngs. We'll be with them in just a moment after this message. Mrs. Horace Trent was surprised to receive an unexpected caller, a Mr. Kurt Bradley from Elmwood. For Kurt hoped that he might be able to straighten matters out between the Youngs and the Trents, if he could only make Mrs. Trent understand what fine people the Youngs really are, and that Carter couldn't do better than to marry a girl like Peggy Young. Mrs. Trent had believed, along with her husband, that the Youngs were simply after their money, but she was rather touched and impressed by Kurt's sincerity. Now she's entering her husband's study, a little doubtful as to how he will receive the news of Mr. Bradley's visit. Mr. Trent is sitting in a large easy chair, trying to recuperate from the effects of his interview with Sam Young, and grumpily nursing his eye.
Horace, I have something to tell you.
Yeah? What is it?
First of all, how do you feel?
Well, now, how do you think I feel with a black eye? I can't go out of this house until it's better. I should think the fool doctors could do something to cure a black eye. Should have had that Sam Young arrested. Should have had him locked up.
Well, I'm glad you didn't, Horace. I think it would have been a bad mistake.
Well, I'm not sure. The idea of Sam Young's daring to come in here and strike me practically behind my back, too.
Horace, I have just had a visitor.
Well, a visitor?
Yes.
What visitor?
A friend of Mr. Young's.
Oh, so Young sent him over here, did he, to apologize, I suppose?
No. Mr. Young's gone back to Elmwood.
Oh?
He left on the afternoon train. And this man, well, he impressed me very much. He said his name was Bradley from Elmwood.
Bradley?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what about him?
Well, he said he'd been a partner of Mr. Young's. He said that we ought to go out there to see what sort of people they are.
Go out there?
Yes.
Put my foot in that place, I should say not. He might catch me off guard again. Knock me down. That is, if I don't knock him down first, of course.
Horace, it goes deeper than that. He came here on his own initiative, apparently without Mr. Young's knowing anything about it, determined to tell us all the good points of the Youngs.
They haven't any good points.
Well, apparently they have, in their own community. Mr. Bradley was so completely sold on them, he couldn't say enough about them.
Oh. Well, I suppose now that he's told you all about the Youngs, now that Mr. Young got in a lucky blow, then ran out of the house before I had a chance to get myself together and go after him, I suppose now you have decided that it is the right thing for Carter to marry this girl of his from nowhere.
No. No, I haven't decided anything of the kind. But I do think, Horace, that we ought to look at all sides of it. There must be something in the Young's favor. To have a man of Mr. Bradley's caliber come here and talk to me as he did without their knowledge.
Oh, look, I don't want to argue with you, Ivy. I don't want to talk to you about it at all. I want to talk to Carter about it. I've been trying to get him on long distance all afternoon. I can't see why they can't call a man to the telephone if his father wants to talk to him from Chicago.
Well, I rather thought Carter'd call up again.
So did I. I thought he'd call back and tell us that he'd come to his senses. But I suppose the Youngs have got him so under their thumbs by this time that he hasn't any mind of his own.
No, I don't think that, Horace.
Huh?
From what Mr. Bradley said, I don't believe the Youngs would try to keep anyone under their thumbs. As a matter of fact, I think perhaps what Mr. Bradley said was true.
Now, what do you mean?
Well, I mean when he said we were lucky if Carter got a girl like this Peggy Young. Maybe when Carter calls up, we ought to tell him we've decided to give her a fair trial.
Give her a fair trial? What on earth are you talking about, Ivy?
Oh, Horace, I really don't quite know. I've got to think it through. But it might not be a bad idea to have this girl out here to visit us.
What?
I wish you could talk to Carter again. I'd like to talk to him, too, this time. Oh, Horace, I'm afraid we've got ourselves into a very difficult situation.
All right, it won't be the first difficult situation I've got myself into and out of.
We'll be back with the Youngs in just a moment after this message.
Oh, you've got him, have you, Williams? All right, put him on. I want to talk to him. Carter's coming on the phone now. They finally located him, and it's about time.
Now, Horace, please go easy on him, will you? I mean, if he's still very upset, and he has a reason to be, dear, just don't get too angry.
Will you let me handle this now, please?
Of course.
Hello? Oh, that you, Carter? Now, have you calmed down and come to your senses? What's that? Why did I do it? Well, now, why do you suppose I did it, you young idiot? Because I didn't want you getting involved in something which you're far too young to get involved in. You haven't any business thinking of getting married now. Well, yes, I know you said you'd bring her out here to visit us. But I chose to do things my own way. I did what I thought was right.
Oh, please, Horace, please don't take that attitude with him. It won't do any good.
It's all right. Yes. Yes, of course it's true that Mr. Young and I had words. Yes, the man was insufferable. I have never had anyone talk to me that way, and I won't... And what right have you got to talk to me that way? I don't like it, Carter, and I won't have it. Now, this girl has made it perfectly plain that she's going to give you up. She doesn't want to marry you, and she wouldn't marry you for any reason. And I respect her for that. I only hope she sticks to her guns, that's all. Huh? No, I realize that. I know I can't stop you, and I can't stop her. And I remember perfectly well all that you said last night. Yes. Now, look here, Carter. I am not going to argue with you over long-distance telephone. And I want to talk to you very seriously about all this. I want you to come out here. I want you to come on here alone.
Horace. Horace, let him bring her if she'll come. Perhaps that'll solve the whole thing.
No. No, Carter, we don't want to see anybody but you. And we expect to see you this weekend, if you can get leave. You understand? Well, you certainly owe that much to us. Come out here and talk to us. Oh, you won't. Very well, then, don't. Now, look here, Carter.
Horace, let me speak to him, please. You're not going to get anywhere with that tone. Thank you. Hello, Carter. Carter, dear, your father's very much upset. He's had a very difficult time. Yes. Carter, could you come here and talk to him? Yes. Yes, I think the first time it would be better if you came alone. Well, dear, will you do me that favor? Will you please do it for my sake? Just come here alone, dear, and let your father talk to you and tell you exactly what he has in mind. Yes, Carter. Please. Alone.
Now, Carter has left camp and hurried over to the Youngs to tell Peggy about the phone call.
Oh, Peggy. Peggy, I've got to see you about something. Can you come down a minute?
Carter, yes, I'll be right down.
I beat it over, Peggy, as soon as I could get here. You see, I talked to my father in Chicago again this afternoon.
Oh.
And I'm going out to Chicago.
I think you should go, Carter. I'm glad. I'm very glad to hear that.
You see, it's kind of hard to say things on the long-distance telephone. And when Mother came on the phone and asked me if I'd come out there and talk it over with them, and after you asked me to, and she asked me to, I said I would, see? So I'm going.
You mean you're going alone?
Yes, I'm going alone. That is, if you think it's okay.
I certainly do think it's okay. I think it's much better. I'd hoped you'd go alone. I think you should.
Well, I don't know about that. But I've got to make it clear to them. I've got to make them understand that this just isn't a childish whim of mine. That this isn't just calf's love. This is the real thing, Peggy. It's so real with me that I'm not fooling.
Yes, Carter, I know.
And before I go, I've got to be sure. I've got to be sure that you feel the way I do. And that you're willing to take me if I haven't got anything. If I'm giving back my mess of pottage.
But, Carter, I told you. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't tell you. I can't make up my mind. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of anything. I'm not even sure that... Why, you mean it now, or you'll mean it later on. How can I be sure?
Don't you see? You've got to trust me. I mean, we've got to. We've got to understand that I don't want any part of what my father has now. No money, nothing. Not after all this has happened. Not after what he sent Bruce Taylor to say to you.
Oh, Carter, please don't make me make up my mind now. I can't do it. I can't tell you whether I'm going to be able to love you again the way I did before.
Peggy, you...
I do love you. But whether I'm going to be able to be the same to you as I was before, I can't tell you any of those things now. You've got to give me some time.
It's no wonder that Peggy feels she needs more time to work out this difficult and heartbreaking problem. But sooner or later, Peggy will have to make up her mind. We'll be back in just a moment after this message. And Peggy does make up her mind tomorrow. Be sure to join us on Pepper Young's Family. John Scott speaking.